Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
It says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done." What Jesus is offering us in this scripture is power. He's saying that in me, I'm offering you a power that you haven't had before. As a matter of fact, I'm declaring it to you, and hopefully we'll get to a number of scriptures where you find out that the main, maybe, contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the Old Testament, this concept of faith is hidden in the stories, but in the New Testament, it's brought out into the open. It's brought out into open air, and it's used 304 times is the word faith used in the New Testament. So that's how much of an issue faith is in the New Testament. So faith is a huge issue, and Jesus really brought the idea of faith fully to bear in his teaching, right? Peter's walking on the water and starts sinking, and Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Right? It's like, "I'm walking on the water, Lord. Don't I get a high five for that?" You know? And it's like, "No, you're getting in trouble for me for sinking." You know? It's like, you know, how's that work? Right? I'd expect at least to get, I don't know, a trophy or something. I believe in this scripture, and this is one of many scriptures that I could have used, but Jesus is sharing the most challenging, revolutionary aspect of his ministry as he landed on planet Earth, God made man. The challenge is to discover and to develop this power within yourself. That's faith. Faith is not saying, "I go to church on Sunday." Faith is not saying, you know, "I call myself a Christian." Faith is not saying, "I witness." Faith is saying, "I'm developing the power to move mountains. I'm developing the power through the gospel of Jesus Christ to move mountains." Not only will you say to this fig tree, you do like I did, say to this fig tree to wither up and die, but I say to you, you will say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and if you believe, it will be done. It's so challenging, and it's so non-traditional in faith. However, he doesn't ever let up on this sort of invitation slash command slash engagement of his disciples to have faith. I think it's revolutionary, and I think if you ever discover, if you'll hear me, today, if you'll hear his voice, and don't harden it like the children did when they were out in the wilderness after they came out of Egypt, if you will hear his voice, it will change your life forever. Because you'll recognize what's required of you as a Christian is not personal virtue, although that's certainly required, no excuses. However, more importantly, is that you have faith. In the natural world, growth comes naturally. I think I heard it on TV, or recently somebody was speaking, and I don't even know if it's true or not, it's anthropologists and archaeologists and all of this, but somebody spoke of remains of a very small people that were discovered by archaeologists, like tallest was like 3 feet tall, an entire civilization that were very small, and they surmised that their growth was hindered because of the lack of available food in that environment. And so in the mind of scientists, this created a smaller people, that they just didn't have the nourishment to grow, and then over time they became this people who averaged about 3 feet high. And I don't know if their analysis is true or not, but I'm going to tell you something. We consider growth in the physical to be a natural process. But your growth emotionally is not a natural process. I've known very old people who emotionally are very young, who have never developed into genuine mature adults. In the Bible, the Bible's, you know, pretty clearly designates the difference between elders and novices and children. Paul says at one point, you should be eating strong meat by now, but you're still in need of milk. So what did he do? He gave them milk, because that's all they could handle was milk. So he gave them milk, but he said, by now in your walk, you should be able to eat strong meat. So your growth in God is optional. Your growth in God is not automatic. You can come to the level. It's like the man sitting at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years who could never access the healing pool because he said, well, there's nobody to help me to get into the water. Jesus basically says, do you even want to be made well? It's almost like, you're at this pool for 38 years. You've literally got your bed made up there. And you're lying there in your same place. You got your same pew. And you've been coming for 38 years. But you haven't grown. You haven't become free of that thing. Are you with me? You haven't moved any mountains yet. Is our whole life moving mountains? No. Man, I've been through some deserts. But the Shunammite woman, right? Remember that story in 2 Kings where this woman notices the prophet coming into Shunem, into her town, and she's seeing that he's not being properly cared for. And so she says, come and eat at our house. And then eventually she's like, still, she's not satisfied. Because she says he doesn't really have a place of his own to rest his head. And we want God here. We want God here. So she says to her husband, husband, I want you to make a room for the prophet on the wall. And I want you to put a bed and a chair and a table and a lampstand in that room. And she goes to the prophet and she says to the prophet, whenever you come to Shunem, this is your room, no one else's room. This is your room. Do you have that kind of room in your heart? Do you have that room in your heart? The place for God to dwell, where there's a light and there's a table and there's a bed. There's rest in the Lord. There's study in the Lord. There's light in the Lord. Right? And he says to a servant, he's always speaking through a servant, Elisha, right? Gehazi, do me a favor. Go get that lady. And says to the lady, what do you need? You want me to talk to the king for you? It's literally what she says. You want me to talk to the king for you? Maybe the commander of the army? What can I do for you? You know how what her answer is? I dwell among my own people. That's what she says. Basically, she says, I don't need anything. I dwell among my own people. I dwell among my own people. I am content. No, I don't need anything from the king. I don't need anything from the general of the army. I dwell among my own people. I got nobody to get even with. I don't want to be made the queen of a small country. You know, I dwell among my own people. It is well. And then she goes back downstairs, and Gehazi, the servant, says to her, you know, by the way, Lord, her husband is old, but she hasn't had any children. She's barren. He says, get her up here. That's what he says to her. Get her up here. Well, that's the Bob translation. And she comes up and she says, she stands in the doorway. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. So riddled with prophetic imagery. He says, this time next year, you will have a son. And she says, yes, Lord, thank you so much. No. She says, don't lie to your maidservant. Don't you dare do that to my heart. Don't you dare read the deepest pain in my heart and put some kind of phony baloney religious promise out there. He doesn't say anything in return. And within the next year, she has a baby. She has a son. Thank you so much, Jose. You read my mind. So, the babe grows up, comes a little boy. It's a farming family. So it's time for the little boy to start going out in the field with his father to work. And the kid's out in the field, and he says to his dad, my head is hurting, my head. And so the father is busy working. And he says to the servant, take the boy to his mother. Right? Go see mommy. And sometimes it's just mommy. You got to have mommy. All right? So the boy comes. They bring the boy over. The boy sits on the mother's lap, I think until noon, and dies. Right? She brings him upstairs to the prophet's room. She lays him on the bed. And then she says to her husband, get me a mule and a servant. Get the mule and the servant. Then she says to the servant, she says, lead on as fast as the paces you can go and do not let up. I got to get to the prophet. And the husband says to her, is it well with you? Is it well with the son? She said, it is well. Is it well? The answer to that is no. Right? The servant says to her, is it well? With everything? Is it well with your son? It is well. Is she lying? She's having faith. She's having a faith attack. She is having a faith attack. She refuses to confess it. She refuses to confess her aches and pains and moans and groans. Oh, Lord. As she takes off, from afar off, the Bible says, from afar off, the prophet looks and sees her coming. And he says to his servant, Gehazi, go, quick, run and see what's the matter with her, because I sense there's something troubling her. And then, Gehazi goes down and says, is it well? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your son? Know what she says? It is well. It is well. She gets all the way to the prophet. She lays down on her face. She grabs him by the ankles. She said, I thought I told you, you can't do this to me. Did I ask you for a son? Elisha says, Gehazi, take my staff and go. Run quick, fast. Go to the child and lay my staff across the son. What's the staff? It's the cross, folks. And the woman says, listen, I ain't leaving without you. That's good, you sending your servant and all. Sending old Pastor Bob and all your sons, sending, you know, the prayer team's praying for you. But Jesus says, I need you. Jesus, I need you. And so they go back together. Elisha goes back with the woman, the Shunammite woman. He goes up onto the room, into the room, his room. And here's the boy laying. The Bible says he's cold. That's when you get dead, you get cold. So he lays on top of the child, eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth, hands to hands. Eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth, hands to hand. He lays across the child's body until the body becomes warm. And then it says that nothing happens. And he goes back downstairs and he walks to and fro, walks to and fro. You know, sometimes you got to wait. You know, sometimes you got to wait. You want a miracle that's going to require a resurrection from the dead of some issue or aspect of your life that you consider to be condemned or gone or lost. Sometimes it takes a while. And so Elisha goes back up a second time, and he lays mouth to mouth. Man, you're talking about how close can you get to Jesus? You put his words in your mouth. You see the world as he sees the world, and you touch the world as he touched the world. That's what we're called to do. It says the boy sneezes 7 times. That's a spirit of death being cast out of that boy. And the boy is okay. Gives him to his mom. Leads on his merry way. Are you kidding me? That's faith. That's faith. Refusal to deny God's word is faith. Refusal to deny God's word is faith. The promise that you're praying for takes faith, takes confession, takes believing. A refusal to speak against God's word. I tell you, we're the whining generation. Nobody's ever had it as good as us, folks. We're living better than 90-something percent of the world right here, right now. You, the least of you, are living better than 90-something percent of the world, but we have got the market cornered on whining. Growth takes effort. And this is what I don't know why I got a hold of this early this week. I've been thinking about it all week. I probably have spoken it to half of you. When I was a little kid, I would always want to reach the thing that was out of my reach. And if it was a bookshelf, I always wanted the higher bookshelf. And if there were dangerous things in our house, my parents would put them in high places. Are you with me? And if you want a book that's in a higher level of the bookshelf, if you continue to stretch, and you continue to stretch, and you continue to stretch, one day you're going to find out you can reach that book. It's like a miracle. That book has been a mystery to me. It's been locked away. Like a mystery to me, but I've had to stretch. See, you have to stretch your faith. You have to stretch your faith. You must stretch your faith. You must get in the Father's presence. You must say, please, 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 Lord Jesus. Please, Lord Jesus. Please, Lord Jesus. Please, God. Please, God. Please, God. But listen, it's pushing. If you're going to have faith, you got to stretch. You got to reach. You got to reach for the top shelf. You can't stop. Because if Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, 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 surely, absolutely, surely, take it to the bank. Better than gold, better than silver, the word of God, the word of the Lord Jesus. Assuredly, I say to you, assuredly, I say to you, take it to the bank. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. It will be done. But you say, I don't understand. Exactly. That's your problem. You think you got to understand it before you walk in it. No, you walk in it and then you understand it. No, you're obedient first, and then you understand it later. You take Jesus' words for what they are.
Your parent says to you, listen, don't climb that 50-foot ladder, right? And your little kid at 5 years old is going to try to climb it anyway. But the Father knows what we can understand, but he also knows how do we develop this faith and this understanding by first being obedient to it. So you got to put the negative talk out of your life. Oh, I'll never. Oh, woe is me. I prayed. Everybody says I prayed. Oh, I prayed. I'm telling you, if you pray, you win. If you pray, you win. If you pray, you win. If you'll nourish yourself with God's word, if you fill yourself with God's spirit, you pray, you'll win. You pray, you'll win. You pray, you'll win. There's nothing that you've done that will not be forgiven. There's no hardship you've experienced that God does not say, boop, you're free. I love you. You're set free. You say, Lord, all the times I've done this, he'll say, what are you talking about? He says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Bible says God throws our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. So whatever you've done to this point here today that's holding you back in a sea of regrets, if you confess it, God doesn't even remember it. He says you're free. If the Son, who the Son sets free, is free indeed. Another personal story early on in my walk. I've shared this many times with you before, but this is the way that it came down. I read that Jesus prayed all night, and I said, I want to pray all night. If Jesus did it, I want to do it. I've never prayed all night. I've prayed hours before, but I've never prayed all night. I've never literally by myself prayed all night like Jesus did. And so one night I said, okay, I got it. Tonight I'm going to do it. It was a Friday night. I didn't have work on Saturday. So got Nan and kids off to bed, 10, 11 o'clock or so, when by the time Nan went to bed and I start my prayer, and I got a little oak table that I'm walking around in our kitchen. And I'm walking around it, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying. It becomes midnight. Now, I've just worked all day, right? Just like Jesus did. And I'm praying, and I'm praying, praying in the spirit, praying with my understanding. I'm praying. I'd come up with every name I could ever remember from high school, from grammar school, every teacher I ever had, every person. I would pray for people individually. Because sometimes your brain has got to have somewhere to go if you're praying, right? Pray for my friends, I pray for my enemies, I pray for countries, I pray for the president, I pray for, you know, just pray and pray and pray and reaching out and reaching out. And it got to be 1 o'clock, and it got to be 2 o'clock, and it got to be 3 o'clock. And I had a brilliant strike of piety. And so what I did was I got myself down, because I saw my pastor doing this, and I laid down, spread eagle on the floor, because I was going to be very holy. And I woke up, it was 6 o'clock. That is the truth, and I'm not proud of it. Everything ached, because it was a hardwood floor. Everything ached on my body. And I woke up with this, oh, rats. Lord, I just want to be like Jesus. And God is my witness. Three words, like a fire lit inside of me, like a torch. These three words, are you sure? Came up and rose up from the inside of me. Well, I didn't stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning because I hadn't thought about it, right? Yes, Lord, I'm sure. Second time, are you sure? Thought about it a little bit more. I guess this is kind of serious. God's speaking, you know it and you don't know it in the moment. You always know it in the rear view mirror, much clearer. Yes, Lord, I'm sure. Third time, are you sure? Yes, Lord, I'm absolutely sure. Whatever it takes to make me like Jesus, I will pay that price. Yes, Lord, I'm sure. And the moment passed. But I believe with all of my heart, that's when I was accepted into God Training Academy. You know, for the maybe the not brightest people in the world, you know, who didn't make their fame and fortune through being a movie star or, you know, whatever else is socially very cool, and I had no Ferraris, you know, I had no cool things really to speak of. I had not much at all really to speak of, a beautiful wife and five beautiful children. But that's when I started out on this course that would bring me to this day. I'm just telling you, you got to stretch. You got to stretch. You have to reach for higher faith power, especially growth. Philippians 2:12 says, not that I have already attained. Paul says this. Paul, the apostle, who's like the rockin'est dude in the Bible next to Jesus. Not that I have already attained or already perfected. Paul is saying this. But I press on. But I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So what happens is Jesus grabs you as his prisoner. He lays hold of you. And now it's up to you to press on to fulfill the purpose for which he laid hold of you. If I'd said this stuff, it would really be profound, but just reading it from the Bible. It says, 6:30, Matthew 6:30, if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Come on. Come on. What are we worried about? I hope it makes you happy. Because you're not out of the race. You're in the race.
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you today for listening to our podcast, On Fire Radio. We pray that this word has ministered to you today, and maybe today God has shown you your need for him in your life. John chapter 8, and in verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus makes us free from our sin. If you need to make Jesus first in your life today and be set free, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins today and ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life and ask that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can even download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and start a plan for new believers. Start a prayer life as well and start carving out time in your day to spend time with God. And I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Powerful worship, dynamic teaching, and an encouraging time of fellowship. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can partner with us in serving God's vision for this area by donating online at our website, www.cmcconline.org. From there, you can also connect with us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Send us a message and let us know how this ministry is impacting your life. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.